Jesus was baptized. Why was Jesus baptized? And their teaching was, see, Jesus was just a man like we were, and by obedience to baptism, he became God like we can become. And I'd be like, that doesn't sound too right to me, right? I'd be at Wendy's, and I'd be, you know, I'd get my burger and pass a few tracks out, and there's this Pentecostal pastor there. I was not a pastor at the time. And he starts to engage, we start talking. He said, you know, what you really need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said. I said, what's that? And he said, well, in my church, you can be baptized in water, have your sins forgiven, and received the Holy Ghost through that event, and we'll know that that happened because you'll get out and you'll start speaking in unknown tongues. And I'm like, man, what? And again, I'm just sharing real stories for me. And so I come then I'd be reading my Bible, and Jesus, after being baptized of John, is talking to his disciples, and he said, I have a baptism you know not of. And I thought, what? And I'd come to another place, and it talked about how Israel was baptized. And I thought, what? I don't know. I was just in need of answers, right? And I met with a good assistant pastor. He was a friend of mine. He befriended me, mentored me. And he gave me some principles, some keys, that helped me immensely with how I deal with these issues. And because of that, I just want to go over those with you tonight about what these keys are, so we can both help the people God sends us, and also when we come across these passages, help us to understand our Bible. So let's pray and let's ask God to just bless the short time tonight. Father, God, certainly thank you. Thank you for every Christian here. Thank you for every open Bible here. God, it's a gift we don't take for granted. Many countries, it's illegal. Many countries, just me getting up and speaking from your book is illegal. And yet you've given us the liberty here. And beyond our physical liberty, you've given us spiritual liberty in Christ. No longer we're not bondage or enslaved to our sin, Lord. And God, we have the promise of a future home in heaven. We have your excellent word before us. And tonight, just for a short time, I pray, God, that you would put Ashton Juergen aside. And I plead the blood, and we pray that you would use your word to encourage, to edify, and to teach. And I pray this, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so the first one I want to show you is in 1 Corinthians 10. Like I said, there is seven. There's probably more, but I just figured why keep counting? Seven's good enough. Amen. No, but there's seven main baptisms we're going to look at. I don't think we're going to get to all of them tonight. You know, at my rate, it'd be good if we go to three, and you'll be like, hallelujah. You don't want to be here for all seven. We might turn this into a two-week study. We'll see. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at these seven baptisms. I'm going to give you them briefly, and then we'll start to pick them apart one by one. You have this one here, 1 Corinthians 10, the baptism under Moses. We'll look at the next one chronologically is John's baptism. Then we'll look at the Lord's baptism of suffering and death. That's three. Then we'll go to what I call early church baptism. That's mainly in the book of Acts, is the early church really starts with the Jews there, early church baptism. Then we'll go to five, what we know, the water baptism of the believer. That's what we practice today. Number six, spiritual baptism of the believer. That's the most important one, that when God puts you in His Spirit, puts you in Christ. And then seven, the baptism of fire, or baptism of hell. And so we're going to see, as we unpackage these baptisms, what each one is and how it applies or doesn't apply, so we can, again, understand our Bibles, as well as have an answer to give when someone comes and brings up these, what I would call strange doctrines, that's what Paul called some things like this, that we can understand, maybe help them, or at least know where we stand and why it's biblical. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have this baptism under Moses. Paul is going to talk to the church at Corinth here, and he gives it in the first 5-6 verses. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant or not knowledgeable how that all our fathers, so Jewish, under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So, what baptism is mentioned here? Well, it's the baptism of Moses, unto Moses. And who was it that got baptized? Well, it was our fathers, these Jewish patriarchs, the nation of Israel, historically, and they all passed through the sea. So did they get wet on this one? No. They went across on what? Dry ground. Now they were baptized, if you will, by a fancy word called aspersion, meaning the cloud was over them. But they went through dry ground, and you might look at this and say, well, if water wasn't involved, what was this baptism all about? Well, it tells us in verse 3, or it says, they'd all eat that same spiritual meat and that same spiritual drink, and that drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So what it did is, verse 2, they were baptized into Moses. It identified them with Moses. It brought them out of Pharaoh, the bondage to Egypt. They crossed this river, the Red Sea. They crossed this sea on dry ground. And what did it do? It identified them that we are here to serve Jehovah. And they went across to the other side and said that spiritual rock, Moses hit the rock and it produced water enough to feed a million plus people. And God said all of that was a picture or type of a baptism where I called them out and they identified with my servant, my authority Moses, and identified with service to me. Right? And so baptism, well, no matter what baptism you're looking at, first of all, is an identification. Always in the Bible. Yes, there's different baptisms. That's one of the takeaways. They're not all for the same people, not all at the same time. God doesn't want you and I to go to the Red Sea, right, and try and reenact what occurred. Otherwise, we might end up like the Egyptians, right? They got baptized and died, right? So, but a baptism is an identification. And what does it do? It shows that they're committed. They're committed to follow God, follow His servant, and to serve God in the wilderness. Now, the reason Paul brought it up was he said, they are your example, that even though they were baptized unto Moses and crossed the Red Sea and drank that spiritual rock, which was Christ, and ate that spiritual meat, which was Christ, he said, they did not well and they murmured in the wilderness. So, I think the practical takeaway for the church, for the Christian, is that, hey, and I heard this a while ago, and I just always say it like this, it's not your height that matters, but your direction. Paul's saying, look, they were baptized unto Moses. They got out of Egypt. They saw a huge miracle. Their enemies were destroyed. They're living in the wilderness, fed by manna from heaven, and yet they still messed up. You know why? They started trusting in how far they had come instead of which way am I going today. And Christians, we can do that too. I was reading about a Democrat senator from Chicago, Illinois, 2 weeks ago. FBI raided his offices, raided his home, and he resigned shortly after. He was involved with the city of Chicago's construction department, overseeing those, to the which the city of Chicago paid $41.5 billion to construction in 1 year, of which he had corrupted to where he got some of that money. You know how long he has been a senator? Since 2003. 13 years as a senator. 13 years as a public servant. 13 years of going in the office, going to Congress, going to D.C., getting in and looking at the law and all those meetings flushed down the toilet. Why? Because he got, at some point, comfortable that, hey, I'm up here, I can take a little from the top, instead of, hey, I'm up here, it doesn't matter how high I am, I need to keep moving in the right direction. And spiritually, that's what happened in this first baptism Paul gives us. Israel thought, well, I'm baptized into Moses, we're out of Egypt. And they forgot the God that took them out. They forgot the God to serve him and to be thankful. But anyway, that was the first baptism, the baptism under Moses. The next baptism I want to look at tonight is John's baptism. If you'll take your Bible to Mark 1, Mark chapter 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel, verse 1 of Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 4 of Mark 1, John did baptize in the wilderness, preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And verse 7, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, I don't know about you, but when I read Mark, when I read Matthew about John's baptism, I don't know, someone had told me as an early Christian, well, the reason we're Baptist is because of John the Baptist. I thought, okay. But as I read his baptism, it was so different from the baptism that we've done. And we're going to look at it because, like I said, that one day I had those Mormon young men come and talk to me. They pointed to John's baptism, that the fact that Jesus got baptized showed that he was a man, a sinner, and needed to become a God. I thought, well, that's not right. So, what is John's baptism? Why was he baptizing? We saw that not all baptisms involve water with the baptism under Moses. They're not all for the same people. So, here, what baptism is this? Well, this is what I call John's baptism. And in John 1:29, you know the story. John sees Jesus coming. Now, he has been preaching, it says in Matthew 3, the kingdom of heaven. He said, preaching the kingdom. And two things happen. Sinners and publicans, that's what the Jews called those who collected the taxes for Rome that they hated. They came, they heard, hey, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And to all good Jews, what that meant was Isaiah and Joel, the prophets, saying God is about to come back, set up his kingdom on earth. Whoever is on the right side with God is going to be part of the kingdom. Whoever is not on the right side of God is going to go to hell, to judgment. And so the publicans and sinners heard John gladly, and he said, repent and be baptized. Meaning, you're in an Old Testament covenant with God, and you violated it. You've not kept the ceremonial law. You've not gone to the temple. You've not brought the sacrifices God asked for. On top of that, God knows that you violated by worshiping idols. And so they come and they repent. They're sorry for their sin. And he says, be baptized to the remission of sins. Now what that meant was, if you're really sorry, then go ahead and show that outwardly. Which is very different than what we preach today. Because remember, Christ had not come to be crucified, buried, risen again yet. And then the Pharisees come, and they hear this same message, and they rejected John. They rejected his baptism. Okay? So John's baptism, again, is for primarily the nation of Israel, bringing them to repentance. Why? Because I go to prepare the way of the Messiah, make straight the paths. What he's preaching is, repent, you've violated God's covenant, and prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Messiah is about to come. You know, he will come and you can believe on him afterwards. So, what happens is Jesus comes. And Jesus says, John, I need you to baptize me. And John said, no, I have need to be baptized of thee. He said, I'm a sinner, not you. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. You're taking away my sin. You're perfect. And yet Jesus said this, and this for a lot of years confused me. He said, suffer it to be so now. Why? Why, Jesus, if you're perfect, if you're sinless, why are you getting baptized in a baptism of repentance, in a baptism of preparing for the Messiah when you are the Messiah? He says, for righteousness. For righteousness. Because what happened as soon as Jesus was baptized? God the Father, not only did John say, I don't need to baptize you, recognizing him as being sinless. God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, and the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. What was that? In Exodus chapter 34, if we had time, we could go there. When the priest came to become a priest, they would take water and they'd wash him. And then they'd anoint him with oil. You know what Jesus wanted every Jew to know? A couple things. By being baptized, it wasn't like the Mormons say, because he was a sinner, a man, and had to become God. What he was doing is he was showing two things. He was showing that he was the Messiah, anointed not with oil, but with the Spirit of God, commanded not of men, but with God's voice himself. He was their high priest. And then secondly, he was obedient to God's command. Even though he wasn't a sinner, even though he would live the perfect life, he was still willing to obey God's program, which through John the Baptist, was to be baptized and to be, you know, prepare the way of the Messiah. Why? I believe it was because he would identify with sinners. He was sinless. But what did Isaiah 52 and 53 teach us? That he would be counted among the transgressors. He was sinless. He had the perfect life. But yet he got alongside the worst of the worst, baptized by John, to show that he would identify with sinners. Why? I want to show you one other place with this baptism. We understand it's not the same baptism that we do today. It was for Jews as a nation to repent, to receive their Messiah. They got baptized and then later they believed Jesus was their Messiah. But look at Mark chapter 11. Or I'll read this to you. Jesus is confronting the Pharisees in Mark chapter 11. And verse 27, they come to Jerusalem. 28, they say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? They're mad because Jesus is calling them out on their sin. He's preaching, he's teaching. And the Pharisees are saying, what authority gives you the right to do this? In Mark 11, 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. You know why Jesus asked them that? Because what happened at his baptism? God spoke and said, this is my Son. He gave him authority. He poured out the Spirit to him. You know what the Bible says in the book of John? It said the Spirit was given to him without measure. You know what the Bible talks about in the book of Romans for the believer? It says, to each of us was given the Spirit by measure. I don't know exactly what all that entails, but what I'm saying is the Spirit you and I have, the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. We have His Spirit in us. But the Spirit He had was without measure. Immeasurable. And God gave that to Him. And so He asked these Pharisees, John's baptism, the day you heard God's voice say, "This is my Son." John's baptism, the day people saw the Spirit of God descend upon me, was that of man or was it that of God? And the Pharisees, as you read in the next few verses, they're in a conundrum. Because all the people around them knew John the Baptist was of God, a prophet of God. But they'd rejected John's message. And so they said, "We can't answer thee." And Jesus says, "Neither I answer I thee." But you know why he put that baptism in front of them? Was because one of the reasons John the Baptist baptized was to present Jesus Christ as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. He did it to show Jesus was God to Israel. The Bible says the Jews require a sign. They needed that sign. God gave them that sign. John was a little confused because, again, he didn't need to be baptized. But again, he did it. Why? To show Israel, I'm identifying with the sinners. And even though I'm sinless and perfect, I want to be baptized to be obedient to God's program. And at that point, God, through a miracle, after not speaking for 400 years, spoke and said, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The reason I bring you this idea, these verses, again, is because some people, or as you're reading your Bible, you come across this baptism and you want to understand that, number one, there's more than one baptism. Number two, you know, not every baptism is for us, right? This was for a specific group at a specific time with a specific message. Then, Acts chapter 19, you fast forward about 40 years. Paul's now on the scene preaching the gospel. And he runs into some of John's disciples who only know the baptism of John. And in Acts 19, it gives us a little more insight about John's disciples and what they knew. In Acts 19, Paul comes and he's in Corinth and Paulos was there and they're preaching in Ephesus. In verse 2 of Acts 19, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Now he was talking to Jews who only were John's disciples. That's all they knew, that get baptized, confess that, hey, I've broken the Old Testament covenant, prepare for the way of the Lord, he's about to come. That's all they know. He asks them, "Hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost." Wow. Wow, right? I mean, even our 5 and 6-year-olds know about, right, Jesus, you know, the Father and the Spirit. Here's John's disciples that were baptized under John's baptism. They didn't even know that there was a Holy Ghost. So we see that, hey, John's baptism is for a specific time and a specific place, for specific people, to prepare them for Jesus who they would believe on afterwards. So, knowing that, what can we take away from John's baptism? Well, again, it was out of repentance, acknowledging one's sin, anticipating the Messiah. They didn't know who that would be. And then presenting Jesus as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And it deferred from the baptism of the believer, like we know, because they got baptized and then they believed on Jesus later and received His Spirit later. What was God doing? Well, God was offering Israel a national pardon if they would repent. God was offering them a national pardon if they would have repented. In Isaiah 40, the same passage that talks about John the Baptist coming on the scene, and it says, "Comfort ye my people, speak comfortably, Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What was going on is if, as a nation, their elders, their Pharisees, their rulers would have repented and taken John's message, Jesus was willing to give them the kingdom on earth. There was a pardon available. John the Baptist's message made it clear, hey, repent and prepare. Jesus is going to come. And he's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. You want to be on the right side. But because they did not repent, they crucified Jesus. We have 2,000 years of history between John the Baptist and Israel getting pardoned as a nation. Now, we know the gospel went to the whole world, praise God. But, you see, John the Baptist's ministry, his baptism, if you will, was only for that specific people at that specific time. But yet Christ did it to manifest himself to Israel as their Messiah. So, what do we know? We know the baptism of Moses. We know the baptism of John. We know that there are multiple baptisms. They're not all for us. And we know why John baptized. The Bible showed us and tells us. So now, I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, I would read this verse, Matthew chapter 20. We'll look at the next one. In verse 20, 22, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And we'll look at the baptism of Christ's suffering and death. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 22, Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask." Well, what did they ask? You see, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, two of his disciples, had come to Jesus. And they said, "Jesus, we want to be on your left and right hand side in the kingdom." Jesus on the throne, James on the left, John on the right. And Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they say unto him, "We are able." We are able. So this is a future baptism. This is something he hasn't done yet. He's already been baptized by John. So what is he talking about? He tells us again in Luke 12:50, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Well, what do we know occurred in Matthew 27? God poured out his wrath upon his son on the cross. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that there's a cup. We read in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ said, "If it be impossible, let this cup pass from me." It talks about in this book of Psalms, a cup full of the wrath of God. And what happened? God poured out, or baptized, put under his son on the cross, the wrath of God. It was a real baptism. Baptism, we're getting an idea, doesn't always involve water. Baptism we're seeing isn't always the same people. We saw a baptism that was Israel. It identified them with God, and certainly every baptism identifies them. We saw John's baptism really was for Israel, to prepare them for the Messiah and to present the Messiah to them. And here we see that Jesus is talking about a baptism where there's no water involved. He's literally going to have the wrath of God poured out upon him. In Psalm 75:8, it talks about, like I said, that wrath being poured out. So, Jesus Christ was baptized or put under the wrath of God on the cross. So we see those first three, right? The baptism under Moses, baptism to John, baptism of suffering on the cross. And then we'll finish tonight with one that, again, you get a lot of questions about, and that's in Acts, this early church baptism. And everyone may have heard this, but in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter preaches a message in Jerusalem. And he's preaching that they've crucified Christ. And verse 37 of Acts 2, when they heard this, that those were the Jews in Jerusalem. It's Pentecost, it's a feast. These are devout Jews. When they heard this, that they had crucified their Messiah, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, verse 37 of Acts 2, "And to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what's going on in this verse? Well, what's going on is these are Jewish believers that are believing in Christ as their Savior, but they're receiving the Holy Ghost after their baptism. And again, I'm not up here pretending to know I know all the answers. I don't think that the Baptist Church or me have the corner on the truth, right? But if I'm honest with you, I've had a lot of conversations with people that use this verse to show baptismal regeneration, meaning to get saved, you got to get in the water, that have used this verse to teach that the only way you're going to heaven is if you get baptized in my church in a certain way and certain things happen afterwards. And I thought, you know, when I was a young Christian, I don't really know, but that doesn't sound right. Amen? But I didn't know why. And so I want to show that water baptism was very important to the Jew, but what God was doing is he was transitioning from the Old Testament into the New Testament. He was using his gospel through Jewish apostles preaching to Jewish believers. And we read in First Corinthians 14:22, it says the Jews require a sign. They require a sign. God made their nation in Egypt through signs and wonders. Moses, he turned, you know, a fire down from heaven, water into blood, light into darkness, dust into flies. God is obligated to show anything he does to Israel by signs and wonders. And so here he is, and he's starting the church that we're part of, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Paul told him in Acts 19 to the Philippian jailer, but you have to understand, the Jews don't know the church is coming. They're looking for a literal, physical king on a white horse setting up a kingdom. And so what God is doing here is he's showing them miracles to legitimize the fact that this is a work of God. This is a work of God. So in Acts chapter 2, what do you see? You see the Spirit as a mighty roaring wind. What do you see? You see flames above their head. What do you see? You see a miracle where they get up and they preach, and Jews from Galatia and Jews from Cappadocia, that's a Turkish area, Jews from all over, the Bible says, can hear every man in his own tongue. You know? Wouldn't we like to have that power? Hallelujah. You know, I could get up and she understands me in Spanish, right? And he understands me in German. Save a lot of years of studying language, amen? I wish we had that gift, right? But what God is doing is he's using this miracle to show the Jews that this body he's creating, the body of the church, is a legitimate work of God. And he's transitioning from water baptism to now the most important baptism we'll see is the spiritual baptism, where God puts us into Christ. You see, the word baptizo is a Greek transliteration. The King James, your King James, and many other Bibles for that matter, but your King James translators, they didn't translate that word. And I personally believe it's because they looked at all these different baptisms and their thought, man, these are different. Amen? We can't just group them into one word, so they just transliterated it. What am I getting at? I'm getting at God is really focused on water baptism. So he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, but then be baptized and then receive the Holy Ghost, because Jews understood ceremonial cleaning. They understood the water baptism cleanses me. And what God was trying to do is go from the physical to the spiritual. The Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after knowledge and wisdom. Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. But you see, if God would have just pulled the plug on the Jews from the get-go, to where there's no miracles, no signs, no water baptism connected, then they wouldn't really understand, you know, that this is a legitimate work of God. So God gave them that. He did. in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is a heavy Jewish center. Now, were they believers in Christ? Absolutely. Did they have their sins forgiven as you and I did? Absolutely. But they got the Holy Ghost in a physical, miracle way after they were baptized. Why? To show the Jews, the nation of Israel, that this was a legitimate work of God. And he quotes Joel chapter 2, where God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. But again, the primary passage, if you read Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, and those verses down there, is Jewish, devout Jewish people to the law, to the Old Testament, seeing that this is a work of God to believe on Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and then they connect it with water baptism and afterwards receive the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of even Baptist churches, they get scared when they read passages like this. Why? Because it doesn't fit our Baptist doctrine. Amen? This fits Pentecostal doctrine. But the reason is they don't want to expound what is the scripture actually teaching. So they try to maybe run to the Greek, or they try to change what it actually says, when in fact, all you have to do is read the context. Compare scripture with scripture. So the order of belief here was they believed, they were baptized, and received the Holy Spirit. There were visible miracles, sign gifts. Why? Because the Jews require a sign. And the difference between when they receive the Holy Spirit and when we receive the Holy Spirit, or anyone today, Jew or Gentile, when they accept Christ as their Savior today, is they received it after they were baptized. After they were baptized. Why, again, were the sign gifts associated maybe later in Acts chapter 10, where it was an Italian man, Cornelius, getting saved? Again, he believed. He received the Holy Spirit. Peter said, who can prevent this guy from getting baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as of we? So he believed, received the Spirit right then. But then when he got baptized, he spoke in tongues that different people understood their language. Why? Because there was Jews present. There was Jews present. And God was trying to put his official stamp of approval that, hey, Gentile dogs are okay. Right? That might not seem like a big deal to you and I, but to the Jews, Gentiles were dirty. Right? I mean, we look at John the Baptist eating locusts and we scratch our heads, right? But under the Old Testament law, locusts were ceremonially unclean. You know, it was ceremonially locusts you could eat, they were clean, whereas Gentiles were not. And God's trying to show these Jews in Acts chapter 10 and here that, hey, this church, my work, is a work of God. So, we see 4 different baptisms tonight. We see that the baptisms in the early book of Acts, again, why are they different? It's not because you need to have your sins washed away up there, right? I can go in, get in that water, come out. It doesn't do anything for me other than get me wet, right? No. The Bible is trying to show that there's a transition from Old Testament to New, from Jew to the church, where Paul says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but the church of God, one body. But at the same time, he's willing to give these Jews enough signs, enough miracles, to where there's no excuse that they can't say, yeah, we didn't know this was God. We didn't know this was God's work. He's leaving them without excuse. And so through that, as we looked at those baptisms, and people come to you and they say, hey, well, I need to lay my hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost. Or they say, hey, you need to get up there and you need to get in the water and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Understand that this early Acts transitional time was not for the gospel that we preach. We'll see that. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 4, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. No baptism involved. We'll see what water baptism is maybe later, but that's it. There's no baptism connected to getting saved. There's a spiritual baptism where God, 1 Corinthians 12, put you into Christ, There's a water baptism of the believer that we do here as a testimony to show what God's done inside. But again, when someone comes to you and says, hey, you got to get baptized by the Holy Ghost, you know, and you see those guys on TV that slap the foreheads, right? And again, I'm not mocking them. Again, I'm not any man's judge. What I'm just telling you, honestly, is when people came to me and brought this to me, I didn't have an answer. When I read these scriptures, I didn't have an answer. And that's why God, I think, wants us to learn these things. It's not so we can be better. We're not better. It's not so we can be right. It's so that we can walk humbly with our God and understand, okay, that verse is there, but I don't have to rip it out of my Bible. Amen? That verse is there, and yes, I hear what you're saying, but I don't have to go and be baptized to receive the Holy Ghost. I just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm put into Christ. I'm very thankful for that. You know, I know this is doctrine. I know that it's not always the most pragmatic or practical, but can I tell you, it is, and it's important. I know I've shared this story before, but when I was in Idaho, there was a great Christian university that I think that they're really good academically, but they had a chapel service where a guest speaker came, and hundreds of kids, Christians, at a Christian university, and he got up and he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, didn't really mean God loved people, but that God loved the earth. And he said, if you've, you know, polluted the earth, if you've let your car run when you weren't inside of it, if you threw trash on the ground, you've sinned against the world, and God, that's why God died, and he wants you to repent and be baptized. And he had a big trough up front where they had dirt and water, and they were supposed to grab the dirt, symbolic of the earth, put it in the water and wash their hands, symbolically baptizing that they were no longer going to sin against the earth. This is at a Christian university. So again, I know sometimes these studies can be somewhat tedious. If you have more questions, come show me. I'll give you more scripture if you are curious. But remember, it's important for a reason. Amen? It's in the Bible for a reason. Let's not get rid of the passages we don't understand, but let's study them until we do come to a more perfect understanding. Father, thank you for the patience of your church tonight. Lord, I do pray, God, that this would be practical. Lord, maybe, God, someone confused on the issue would come, or maybe even us in our own Bible reading. You'd give us knowledge on this, Lord, and allow your body to really understand that, yes, there's more than one baptism, and that's okay. And that I don't have to do John's baptism, or I don't have to do the baptism in Acts chapter 2, and that's okay. And I pray, God, as we go out into work, into school, that we would be public witnesses for you, and we would give an answer to those that you send us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.